in 2 Corinthians, and this is going to be in chapter 7 is where we're going to begin. Praise the name of the Lord. I'm going to just kind of quote some scriptures here that we begin with, and that was in Romans chapter 13. Just listen. In verse 14, it says, "But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lust." You know, so we find right there, as I had shared with you back then, even from the beginning, that, you know, so that what we find there is a twofold point. The number one is that it's given to us as a command that we're to walk after. There are New Testament commandments that's given to us. You're not just simply saved and then set free, right? Just go kind of do your thing and, you know, and do what you want. After all, you know, you're under grace and God's not got no demand upon you. Nothing could be farther from the truth. When you come and give your heart to Jesus, you come and you become his possession. You know, you have two choices in life, and those two choices in life is that you can, number one, be your own man. If you want to be your own man, then go ahead and be it and do it. You know, but you cannot be your own man and be Jesus's man. You know, and that's why the Bible also talks about, with the salvation of God, it talks about the lordship of Jesus Christ. If you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you may not have an understanding whatsoever. I didn't understand what it meant for Jesus to be the Lord of my life. But that was revealed to me as I walked with him. It's still being revealed to me as to what it means to be under the lordship of Jesus Christ. But there's an acknowledgement there that when you come to the Lord and you give your heart to the Lord and you're saved by faith through the grace of God, that you're also, there's a submission to him that, Lord, I'm no longer living for myself. And then you begin to find that there's a power by the Holy Spirit that's working within you to give you a different kind of identity. You know, we identify ourselves in a certain way, and it usually after self, usually after the flesh or whatever it would be. But then we find that the Spirit of the living God begins to reveal the true identity that we have now that we are in Jesus. You know, and this identity is found in being clothed in Christ. Yes, you can be like Jesus. Yes, you can. And that's the first step of real victory. The first step of real victory is that you begin to believe what the Word of God says. Even though it may look far, far off to you, you may say, I can't do it. Well, you got that right. You can't do it. You know, but God will do it. But you begin to allow him to do just that. And one of the things that you begin to do is that you begin to let him come into the things and come into the areas that you don't know what to do about. Things that you cannot change. You don't have the willpower. You don't have the ability. You may not even know where in the world that thing comes from. You know, why do I do what I do? Why do I behave sometimes the way that I behave? Now, sometimes I've tried to change this, and all I do is get more frustrated as I try to change it. You know, those are common difficulties and common struggles for the believer that seeks to go forward in the Lord Jesus Christ. The first order of business is that I begin to believe God for the impossible. And then, you know, that we talk about miracles. This is our miracle prayer table down here. Don't forget the miracle prayer table. Come up and pray over the table. Lay hands upon the table. Hadn't talked about it for a while. Come early. Put your hands on that thing. Well, we need you to do that, and we need you to pray over it. Put in your miracle prayer requests. You know, there's little forms up here. You write down what your miracle prayer requests. Put it in there, right? You know, we want to continue to do that and believe for the miracle working power of God. But sometimes miracles are not as obvious as we many times think. You know, it's the impossible that causes us to be changed, causes us to be transformed, because we begin to have an open door in our heart. You know, we're willing. we dare to believe God for things. And the old evil one's going to challenge you every step of the way, okay? You know, he said, well, who in the world do you think you are? What do you think you're doing? You know, you're trying to be something that you're not. And you know, the enemy loves to use humiliation and shame. You know, and he'll use it against you. He'll try to use pride. We all deal with pride. Pride is at the root of the flesh nature, you know, and you may not go around as a very prideful person, but pride is always a challenge. There's a subtlety that's to pride, right? That individuality, that self-life, right? You know, all that, you know, and amazing, you know, all the people, you know, they go back and they trace their heritage. Now, I've had mine traced, all right? I've got a cousin that put in a lot of time and a lot of effort and all that, you know, and very excited about it. I like to learn about it. You know, it's kind of fascinating, kind of interesting there, you know, but at the same time going back and saying, oh, you know, and this is our coat of arms, right? Have you ever seen that, right? This is our coat of arms. This is the Phillips coat of arms, you know. You know, well, good, you know. Well, good, you know, that's really good. You know, some of it I'm kind of ashamed of, you right? You know. But, you know, that's fine if you're fascinated with that, you like that, and then there's no harm in any of that. But men are always looking for identity. You know, when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, your identity is now found in Him. Your identity is now found in Him. And you become less like you, and you become more like Him. You know, we could talk all day about, well, individuality, you don't lose yourself and you don't lose your personality. You know, a lot of things that we contribute, you know, what I feel, what I see through the Word, you know, that we a lot of times call personality, not maybe necessarily the personality the way we think it is, right? And, you know, when we see that we're to be like Jesus, we're called to be like Jesus, and we begin to say, yes, Lord, and say, have your way. Have your way, and we no longer in ourselves. I'm talking about in ourselves. We no longer excuse ourselves with certain, we might call them personality traits or whatever you want to call them. You know, they're not things that are what we would refer to as out and out sin. But, you know, but do they look like Jesus might be a good point to make. Do they look like Jesus? And then another point to it is that, you know, they don't look like Jesus, and then there's also a destructive element to them. They bring destruction into your life. You know, the Lord wants to deliver us, change us, transform us, and bring that destructive element out of our life. Well, there's a few things here that I want you to see with that. You know, we said that, but the, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. Well, sarx is the Greek word. I want to give some of these definitions so we can kind of define some of these things and go forward. You know, what does it mean when the Bible talks about the flesh? So sarx, that's a S-A-R-X. It means this. Its definition is the flesh, bodily, earthly, flesh or fleshly. That's its definition. And then it says, and make no provision for the flesh. And make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lust. Well, that particular Greek word there, epithumai, transliterated into English, means desire, its passion, its longing, its impulse, its covetousness, or its desire, all right? You know, so those things that are of a fleshly nature, you know, we're to find the overcoming power of Almighty God. We're to find the character of Jesus. We're to find the ways of Jesus. We're to find the nature of the Lord. We find the mind of Christ. We find the perspective of God. You know, where even my thoughts and even my thinking is filtered through that person that is my inheritance, that person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not me putting it on. I want you to hear that. It's not me putting it on. It's me receiving it. You with me there? It's me receiving it. You know, it's not me putting it on. It's the Holy Spirit that is manifesting Jesus, and it's because I'm allowing Him to come into areas that I'm giving to Him and saying, Lord, I want you to take control of that. I want you to take control of that. One of the things that I want to mention before I go any farther here in relationship with that, you know, that when we are being clothed with the Lord Jesus Christ, what we'll find is more of the fruits of the Spirit being manifested in our lives. Let me read that to you in a minute. We're going to read here in a minute, but I'm going to go ahead and give this to you. This is in Galatians 5:22. It says, but the fruit, I want you to hear what that is. And I know you've studied this. I know you've had sermons on this a million times, you know, but I want you to just stop there a minute. But the fruit, this is the fruit of something. I want you to hear that. The fruit, but the fruit, and what is the fruit of? Of the Spirit. It's not your fruit. It's the Spirit's fruit. You bear it. Are you with me there? You know, you bear this. You don't manufacture this. You're not producing the fruit. What you're doing is that you are bearing the fruit. What is it the fruit of? What's the fruit of the Spirit? You know, a lot of times what Christians want is they want the fruits of the Spirit, but they want to stay in control of areas of their life. And that's not how you find the fruit of the Spirit, because the fruit is not to be controlled by you. It's the areas of you and of me that are being given over into the power of the Holy Spirit. And the more that you give over yourself over into the power of the Holy Spirit, then the more that you will find the fruit of the Spirit. You know, we all want it. Oh, of course we do. I mean, my goodness, sure makes life a whole lot better, doesn't it? Right? You know, for the fruit of the Spirit is love. It's joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Wow, yeah. Man, I need all that, and we want all that. But many times what happens there is that we become frustrated about these type of things, and they even almost become a mystery to us. Well, these are the fruits of the Spirit, but why? You know, we'll say, well, they belong to me, but why am I not seeing them manifested in me maybe a little bit more than what I'm seeing them? Well, let me tell you, because they're not to be put under your control. They're under the Holy Spirit's control. And that becomes the point of the problem, right? We want the fruits of the Spirit, but we still want to stay in control of things. And you will not find the fruits of the Spirit in that way, because they're fruits of the Spirit. They're not your fruits. They're not to be manifested when you need them the most and when you don't want them. Okay? They're not to be controlled by you, by me. I can't control them. They don't come that way. And God doesn't bargain with them. He doesn't bargain with them. All right? So I think that now this becomes the answer to us if we can hear it. And let me read that again to us. You know, but the fruit, it's the fruit. It's the fruit of what? It's the fruit of the Spirit. So, you know, this is the fruit that comes by areas of me and of my life, of my heart and of my being and of my way that is surrendered up to God, to where I say, Lord, I welcome you in this thing. You know, what you'll find is you'll find the Holy Spirit convicting you of things that are not of God. And I'm not talking about blatant sin. Oh, that's obvious. But I'm talking about things that are of an attitude nature, things that are of a demeanor, things that are of a way, things that are more of a deep-rooted type of thing, right? Now, and then he says, again, brings them to light. When God brings things to light, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. When God thinks that you didn't, it wasn't like, oh, well, Ron got so smart that he figured it out, right? Oh, yeah, oh, boy, I thought about that all myself, you know, that I came to light because I thought about it, you know. No, you got enlightened by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the reason that you got enlightened is because with the enlightenment is the voice of Almighty God that says, give it to me. Give it to me. And I'll transform you in the midst of it. And it will not have you anymore. And then as the Spirit And sometimes these things are of a gradual nature, you know, and as they come and the spirit gains more control and we in heart say no within our inner man more to that, and we are more yielded to the Holy Spirit in whatever that might be, then the more of that fruit of Him there is made manifest. This is how we bear these fruits. They come by the Spirit's control. And then you bear the fruit of the Spirit's control. As the Spirit gains that place, that way, that area, then the more this fruit is made manifest. You know, we always focus upon the, you know, patience, you know. You know, and, oh, don't pray for patience because God will give it to you. Don't worry about it. He's already doing it. Okay? You know, because that's Him. Are you with me? You know, that's who He is. You know, He is patient. You know, I just don't have an attribute. I have a part of Him that comes into me. And that part of Him that comes into me and begins to get manifested in that realm, its very character and nature of it as a fruit is patience. I don't think about, I'm going to have to be patient. No, it's okay to do that. I'm going to have to be patient. Remind yourself, that's okay to do that. But, you know, it's not willpower. You know, it's a fruit, right, of the Spirit. You know, so, you know, I'm at a good starting place when I say, you know, my patience have got limits, you know, right? My patience have got limits, but, oh, Lord God, you are patience, right? You are patience. You know. So when you feel, weak and weary in an area, you know, it's like, you know, I'm just ran out of patience, you know. But, you know, that's understandable. And that's part of our makeup. And I can never have the patience of God apart from giving over those things in those areas. You may even say to the Lord, you know, when you reach that frustrated point, you may say to the Lord, say, Lord, what do you want of me? What do you want of me? Tell me what you want of me, Lord God. Tell me, Lord, what you want of me. And I'll tell you, he'll make it known. He'll make it known. And many times, you know, the thing that pushes somebody beyond the brink, you know, of impatience or whatever it would be, you know, it goes beyond circumstances. You understand that, don't you? And I know that circumstances and situations, that they contribute to that. I get it. I understand that. But you understand that where it really comes from is from your inner man, from really you. There are others that can walk right through it and never be impatient about it. The same thing. Are you with me? Right? You know, so it's got nothing to do with situations and circumstances. It's got to do with you overcoming by the power of God and by the promise of Almighty God, that as you allow the Holy Spirit in certain areas and realms of your being, what you will find is that this fruit will be made manifest in you. Even if within your own natural self, that it is completely foreign. Right? Isn't that good? Isn't that good? And I'm just using patience as an example of that. Well, I want to come back over here now. I'm going to read this so we understand, you know, so that what God is doing is He not only deals with our actions, but He wants to deal with our inner man. And then not only with our inner man, but we're going to get down to the nitty-gritty here. The nitty-gritty of it is that He wants to even deal with what many times becomes the very foundation makeup of our character and who we are. Somebody say, ouch. Ouch, right? You know, but you understand as that's being dealt with, and then I'm being clothed. That's what's happening here. You know, I'm in welcoming the areas of my life to the Lord. Now, let's begin here. This is in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. Therefore, having these promises, I'm going to read that in a minute. And the reason, why am I going to go to all this trouble? Well, it's because of this wonderful and great and glorious promises that's given to us, for one. Beloved, this is verse 1 again. Beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. That's a very interesting phraseology, isn't it? Right? Huh. right? It doesn't. It cleanse ourselves. Look here, from all defilement. NIV uses the word contaminants, and all defilement of flesh. But look at this. Doesn't this get interesting? Of flesh, and not only flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Well, we define the word flesh. We define that it's SARS. And then we define the word word lust. And let me give you another one right here. Let me give you the word. Notice that this says flesh. This is the same word flesh that was in Romans 13:14. All right? It's the same word. And then it says spirit. Pneuma. P-H-E-U-M-A. P-H is silent. Pneuma. And it means spirit. Now, this is interesting. You know, it's spirit, breath, or wind. You know, and what it's a description of is the unseen power of Almighty God. You know, the breath or wind. You know, you see its might. You see its power. You just don't see it with your eyes. You know, and then of spirit. Now, this word spirit is interchangeable. You know, it will be used in a small case letter, which means the spirit of man, or it may be a capital S, where it is the Holy Spirit of God. It's interchangeable there many times. Now, let me use one more. One more definition here, the word soul, okay? The word soul, you know, S-O-U-L. Also, that's another word that is many times interchangeable with spirit. Okay, but I'll read a scripture. This is in 1 Corinthians 15:45. So also it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. You know, and then it goes on, it says, the last Adam, that's Jesus, became a life-giving spirit. All right? Okay, now that word, you know, that Adam became a living soul and all those born after him, right, as you and I in this flesh became a living soul, you know, Pucci, that is P-S-U-C-H-E, Pucci, and it means breath, it means heart, life, and it means person, right? Many times, the scriptures are not really clear on this, but this is okay. But we say, well, that's, you know, your will and your emotions. You know, your spirit man is the real you. Okay, that's good. You know, and then, you know, you've got your will, then you've got your soul. And then, you know, this is your mind. Some say your mind, your emotions, you know, and your will. Scripture doesn't really define it like that. I mean, that's fine, you know, but here we very clearly say that there's things for us to be cleansed of in the flesh. We don't really have a hard one with that one, do we? But do you notice that it also says spirit? It goes deeper than fleshly things. It goes down to the very core of our identity. The very core of who we are. That there's a transformation that comes by the power of God. You know, there are some things that afflict us, right? There are things that afflict us. I'll just name a few. I'm going to probably visit this next week as well, because I'm barely going to get started on it, but I'm just going to name a few. Now, we call them many character traits. We'll call them personality traits. You know, you be careful. You do what you want, okay? You make your own decision. I'll make mine. You know, I don't put a lot of stock in psychology, okay? You know, I don't put a lot of stock in psychology. They may identify actions and things like that, but they don't really identify the real root or the cause or the core of things. You know, so let's, as Christians, let's not be deceived, right? You know, you'll find a lot of educators call it a science, but if you dig deep enough, it's not even by educators called a science. You know, it's not a science. All right, so you need to understand that. Also, you need to understand that all of the founding fathers of modern psychology were all atheists. That's pretty telling, isn't it, right? You know, look it up yourself, all right? But all the founding fathers, all right, of modern psychology did not believe in God, All right, I'm going to believe God. All right, you know, so here we are, you know, so there's things. And notice, you know, it says cleanse yourselves. You know, that becomes kind of, you know, sometimes a little bit difficult to us, right? But what that is an action of heart. That's an action of heart. I'm going to turn away from that. I'm going to turn, okay. Well, that becomes a little bit easier with things that are of flesh. But now it says also of spirit, right? Things that are of a deeper root about us is where we're also. So cleanse ourselves. Now, let me give this to you as well. Let me find it here. All right. That word for defilement, let's define that. You know, as the NIV uses the word contaminates. All right. The word defilement, the Greek word is molusmos. Molusmos. M-O-L-U-S-M-O-S, molusmos, you know, transliterated into English. Listen to what it means. You know, defilement. What do you mean? We're talking about, wait a minute. Well, we can all sit here and say, yeah, I get it, defilement of flesh. But it doesn't stop there, does it? It says defilement of spirit. Huh. That's going down to the root of my identity. But many times don't have to be my identity. Well, it means to stain. It means to stain or to soil or to defile. Molusmos means to stain or to spoil or to defile. You know, some of those that, you know, I would make mention right here. You know, and we pass them off many times as personality traits. You know, and they may be a part of us, but here becomes the problem. Here's the problem. The problem is when they are a dominant trait. And when they're a dominant trait and they're destructive. Are you following me? Right? You know, that's what he's talking about. Anything and everything that we're going to study and look at and read here and I'm going to bring up, you know, we may say, oh, you know what? Ah, that's me, you know? Or, I could kind of see it. Many times we share different elements of these. It's not just clear cut one or whatever it would be, right? Different elements of these. But there are things that seek to dominate us that God doesn't intend to dominate us, right? And many times we pass them off. It says, cleanse yourselves, right? That's very fascinating wording, isn't it? That means I say no to it. That means that I look at it as not being my inheritance in Jesus. That means that I look at it, does this look like the Lord? Do you think he has this mentality? Do you think he does this? Is this in his character? Is this in his action? No, it is not, and it's not going to be in mine either. Now, that's why he says it that way, because that's when the open door to the Holy Spirit comes. And the things that would be dominant that become destructive, things that become dominant that become destructive, you know, he will begin to cleanse it. Now, that means that I may always have that tendency. Are you with me? You know, you may say, well, you know, how do I get this way? What happened to me? What took place? What, you know, who knows, right? You know, we're individuals and we respond to life from childhood on up, you know, in a unique way, right? Because we're individuals. So, you know, you're never going to get to the root or bottom of that, and you're never going to have victory if even God told you. Okay? You know, that's not where the victory is found. The victory is found in the transforming power of God to make you and I look like Jesus. Right? Praise his holy name. All right, I'll just name a few, you know. There's nine fruits of the Spirit, so I come up with nine dominant traces in spirit that God doesn't want dominating us in our being. All right? He wants it to be filtered through being like Jesus. So, number one, I'm going to call it the passive spirit, right? And I'm not going to get very far here, but this will give you some ideas. See, passive spirit. Well, what's wrong? Well, sometimes it's good to be passive, right? But a lot of times it's, you know, it's characterized by mild, or meekness or shyness, and many times socially awkward. That becomes destructive, doesn't it? People that are passive in spirit, and I'm not talking about, you know, I'm talking about dominant here. they have a hard time expressing themselves. They're naturally timid or shy in nature. They are inwardly frustrated with themselves. Many times they wrestle, be honest with you, with depression, okay? And many times they struggle with low self-esteem, right? You know. So to have shyness about you, well, that's okay. You know, some people need to be a little more shy, right? You know, wish they were a little more shy, right? Okay, yeah, right. You know, but so there's nothing wrong with that. But you understand when it becomes dominant. Are you with me there? It becomes destructive. Because you notice that it's not anything like the characters of the fruits of the Spirit, right? You know, and one of those things that I would say just in passing, you know, one of those things in relationship that's a counterbalance to that would be, how about the fruit of the Spirit that is joy and peace? And I'm going to add one to it called gladness, because the Scriptures talk about that. My goodness, you know how much overcoming power there is in joy? You know, because joy, it's kind of like that impatience. Impatience is not simply being triggered by circumstances. And as long as you fall into that trap, you'll never find the fruit of the Spirit of patience. You know, circumstances can contribute, but it's something that is of God, the patience of the Lord. Right? Well, so it is when it comes to some of these things that bind and tie you up inwardly. You know, and they do damage to you as a person, really, in reality. They become things that constrain and they hold you. Well, we understand this, that joy and peace are overcoming strengths and powers of God. Isn't that great? You know, but the first, notice that again, it says this, it says, let us cleanse ourselves. I want to make an emphasis that that's called opening the door, right? Opening the door. And then it says, from all defilement. How much? How many defilements? All defilement, right? And then it says, of flesh and spirit. Now, in the midst of this, and I'm going to close with this because I got a lot more there and of attributes that I want to bring out and identify. Now, let me, before I do that, but let me just say this. Do you understand, like I said, enlightenment that comes from the power of God? When you get enlightened about something, it may not be a fleshly sin, but you begin to get it. Hey, you know, that's kind of destructive in my life. Or that thing wants to dominate over me, and we don't know what to do with it. And what we do many times is we pass it off as personality. And if you pass it off as personality, you have no way of finding any victory over it. Right? You never have victory over it. Okay? And that's what the enemy wants. And we do that a lot because we don't know what to do. Right? And so we're like, I'm going to learn how to live with it. Or that's just me. Well, you got a different inheritance in Jesus. To be clothed in Him. All right? But now there's a direction, and I'm going to close with this. There's a direction in the midst of all of this. And do you see where this is headed? You know, you see where all this is headed? He goes on in verse 1 again. You know, cleanse yourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit. Look at this. Perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. Right? You know, so where the Lord is taking you is not simply to be free. It's to be free so that you may be holy. Isn't that wonderful? We got too much teaching in Christianity. It's all just about the freedom. Right? It's all just about the freedom. Boy, it appeals to bunches of people. Right? It's just about the freedom. Well, that's not what the Scriptures teach. You know, it's being made free. It's Jesus coming into areas that you can't do anything about. Why are they there? I don't know. Why am I like that? I don't know. I just know that it's not good. It's not good. And the Lord sets you free. And He makes you holy. Isn't that neat? Kathy, won't y'all come on? Okay, praise His holy name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord.